That you will have your way in us. Let your will be done in the service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Amen. Be seated tonight. And tonight I want to share with you. That would be this one. Okay, tonight I want to share with you, or continue sharing with you from Leaders and Loyalty. Wow. Amen. I want us to be able to share a bit more before our 527 program is over. Amen. So I'm sharing, I'm just going to share with you a little bit from chapter 4. The rewards of loyalty. So if you have your book on your iPad or iDevice or iNotebook or whatever I you have, just open it and let's talk about the rewards of loyalty. Amen. What is the reward of disloyalty? When people are disloyal, only bad things happen. Amen. Only bad things happen. And commonly in the Bible, you would find that all the notorious people who rebelled one way or the other ended up suffering so many things. Hallelujah. A curse is a solemn invocation of divine wrath on a person, which results in evil or harm. Isn't it? Look closely at the rebels of the Bible and decide for yourself whether a disloyal person is blessed or not. You know, the end of all rebels is one and the same, and that is execution. And the reason is that the Bible teaches that rebellion is as witchcraft, you know. Now, we commonly understand witchcraft as flying in the night. Do you see someone who has the ability to fly in the night, who does not sleep at night, who takes off from place to place, you know, working magic and the occult and those kinds of things are what we associate with witchcraft. Do you understand? That is the reason why, especially in Africa, people commonly accuse old ladies of being witches. It's a very dangerous thing to do because you don't know how long you will live yourself. Are you getting it? Yeah. So they describe such people as witches. But the Bible teaches us that you can practice witchcraft, do you see, by practicing a sin which is equal to witchcraft. A sin which is equivalent to witchcraft. And that sin is the sin of rebellion. Do you understand? Rebellion is going against, you know, authority. Going against the wishes of the authority that is over you. Amen. Okay, Pastor Munene is being kind to those of you who don't have a book tonight. All right. Are you getting what I'm saying? Going against or rejecting the authority that is over you equals witchcraft. Amen. It's the same as being a witch. Wow. It's too powerful. Are you getting what I'm saying? So we need to be very, very careful when God places us under authority to not rebel against it, because that rebellion brings you into witchcraft. He says in here, for rebellion, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. For rebellion, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Rebellion is as the sin, right there. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Hallelujah. And so, many people practice witchcraft without knowing. Do you see? When you rebel against any authority, you rebel against your pastor, you rebel against your husband, you rebel against your parents, you rebel against your teachers, you know. And that is why in all cases of rebellion, never end well. Do you understand? It never ends well because it invokes a curse. It brings a curse on the person who does that. You see, a common example is children. Do you see? When we were in school, in fact, in every school, in every class, you find some rebellious children. Do you see? They rebel against the teachers. They laugh at the teachers. You know, they mock the teachers. They do something that and then they give themselves some name. Do you see? The class is looking at them, you know, and they become the most popular people and so on and so forth. Now, in the end, when you are done with school, especially when you're grown up, you look around for all such people and you don't know where they are. Are you getting it? Same thing with children who rebel against the parents. When I was growing up, I had some friends who would rebel against their parents, you know. They would do what their parents said they shouldn't do. Do you understand? They would do exactly the opposite of what their parents are saying they should do. You see? And then one of the signs that you are in rebellion is when you hide when your parents are coming. Do you understand? When you hide what you are doing. Do you see? In this modern day, you see so many ways of, or so many different forms of that. You get it? Children hiding. They hide what they are doing on the computer. They hide passwords, put passwords in places. So many different things. It's a sign that you are in rebellion. Do you understand? It's a message you are not accepting, or you are not. The parent says, do this, and you have decided to do that. So you are in opposition to what the parents or the will of the parents is. And that is the same as rebellion. And it is the same as witchcraft. And it attracts just a company of evil spirits to come and be with such people. Amen. So you'll see that many people have stories to tell. Do you see? When you meet some older people who have stories, people who have rebelled when they were younger and so on, they have stories to tell how it didn't end up well with them. Do you understand? And most of them, I don't know anybody who has lived in rebellion who has grown up proud of it. Do you understand? Who has grown up saying, wow, as for me, I was very rebellious, praise the Lord. No, there's nothing like that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, they are all full of regret, and they are all thankful that the Lord has redeemed them from such a path. Can I have an amen? So when you look in the Bible, you will see that all the people who rebelled against their leaders and the authority that was over them did not end up well. Do you see? And the standard, it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 18. So when a person practices witchcraft in the form of rebellion, then he activates this word against himself. Do you see? Which is that they do not qualify to live. Do you understand? They lose the right to live, which is execution. Hallelujah. Execution. When people steal sometimes their parents' cars at night, they go and drink. Do you see? And then they are in rebellion. Now, once you enter that, you are now playing on the field of the devil. You get it? You are actually blessed if you come home safe. And that is also the reason why many of those things do not end up well. Do you understand? They don't end up well. You, tragic accidents, so many things. Because a certain covering is removed from you. Do you understand? You have stepped into the arena of rebellion. And now that you are in the arena of rebellion, rebellion has the devil behind it. The devil is the chief rebel. He is the first person who rebelled. Do you understand? Anybody who walks in rebellion is playing in his backyard. Do you understand? You're playing in his backyard and you are really at his mercy. Hallelujah. So, it is very important that we take note of that. Hallelujah. Right. So, six famous executions. Here we'll read some scriptures real quick. The first one is Lucifer. Lucifer is the first person who rebelled against God. And very, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, and that great dragon, that is Lucifer, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen. What happened to him? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hallelujah. Now, this is the person who rose up one day and said, I will be like God. You know, he said that I will ascend to the throne and I will make myself like God. I'll be like the Almighty. Do you understand? He exalted himself and rebelled against the authority of God by removing himself from the place where God had placed him. Do you see? And that eventually led to his downfall. Amen. When he thought he was going up, he ended up going down, isn't it? So that is the classic example. And that is why when Satan is working with people, one of his classic manifestations is rebellion. Because that's his nature. That's his primary nature. He is a rebel. Do you see? So when he's influencing people, one of the things he influences, or one of the manifestations of his influence, is the manifestation of rebellion. Hallelujah. But he was cast into the earth, and his angels, that means his supporters and those who were all with him, agreed with him. They were also cast out with him. So you also need to be careful not to team up with rebels. Do you understand? Sometimes you are not the rebel, but you are in sympathy with the rebel. Do you see? You agree with him. You see, you support what he's doing, even though you have not done it yourself or would not do it yourself, even if you had the opportunity. Do you get it? So you see sometimes people edging people on. You know, yeah, he's to this. You don't have to yield to that. You don't have to surrender to such a thing. Well, I mean, you don't have to. Does somebody have to tell you what to do all the time? You see sometimes, especially young, some of you young ones who go to school, you see that there are people who provoke young people into rebellion. Do you understand? By staring up with comments and saying things like, so do you have to tell everybody where you go? You know, do you have to say to everybody where you go? That's, let's say you say, let's go here. So I need to ask my parents. Hey, but do you have to ask your parents wherever you go? Because you are now 16 or 17 or 18, you know. I mean, the world makes it look like when you're 18, it means you're 100, you know. You're done with growing up. Are you getting it? So you have people who feed such ideas. Does he have to tell you what to do all the time? Do you have to listen to such a person all the time? Do you have to submit your plans for approval all the time? Why can't you have some liberty? Why can't you have some freedom? These are all instigations unto rebellion. Do you understand? And those people end up suffering the same fate as the chief rebel himself, which is that they don't go up, they go down. They are cast down. Hallelujah. I pray that none of us would be in that situation. Say amen. Amen. All right. So Lucifer is number one. Number two is Absalom. Absalom is the young man we read about last Sunday at church. And Absalom, the Bible says, and 10 young men compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. Do you see? this is a guy who rose up against his father. He decided to attack his father. He decided to take advantage of the weaknesses and the loopholes in his father's system. Do you see? And to use that to turn against his father, which is a dangerous thing to do. Can I have an amen? It's a dangerous thing to turn against someone to whom you owe your very existence. Do you understand? You owe far too much to turn against someone who is your father. Are you getting what I'm saying? You owe far too much. You owe far too much. You know, it's like, it's like someone who lets you live in his house. He gives you his house for free, and then you turn against him. You see, you owe far too much to him, because he can just come and just throw you out, take his house, and you are just gone. Do you understand? So you owe far too much to a father to turn against him. Can I have an amen? So this Absalom did that, and naturally, once you step into rebellion, you have evoked the curses upon yourself. So it's just a matter of time. When you read the account, the Bible says that he was actually going on a horse and riding swiftly, you know, through some woods. Then as he was riding swiftly through some woods, you know, his hair was just all over the place, you know, and just bouncing and feeling, he was feeling really good and feeling like he was riding very high. Do you understand? Then all of a sudden his hair got caught in one of the bushes or branches of a tree, and the horse just ran from under him. Do you see? I mean, when God just removes his hands on you, there are so many classic ways to die. Do you understand? So many freak situations that can happen to you. It cannot even be believed, but you see that it's happening. You know, and that was the case of Absalom. I remember one time, somebody who was rebelling, he was leaving a certain church, he was a pastor, and he was rebelling against the pastor over there. And then when I talked to him, he told me that he had a dream. And in the dream, he said that he was riding on the horse. And then as he was riding on the horse, he came through a certain place, and then his hair got caught up in the bushes. And the horse, instead of staying under him, left him, and he was left hanging. Do you see? So he interpreted the dream to mean that the church he was in was the horse. Do you understand? He said the church he was in is the horse. Do you see? And when he was was in a certain situation or trying to move forward, do you see, that the horse left him and left him hanging. You see, so he feels that he has to rebel and leave the church. And I was telling him that, my friend, why don't you think the other way around? Do you see? Because this, your dream, is so similar to a story in the Bible that I'm surprised that you are not thinking that you could rather be the rebel here. Hallelujah. So you need to be very careful. So when this guy was left hanging, then some people came and then they smote Absalom and they slew him. So the person who thought he was going somewhere, he ended up dying. Because thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, isn't it? So rebellious people lose the right to live. Do you understand? They put themselves in danger. So at that point, it's like if you were to walk, let's say, into the lion's den in a zoo. Now, you are at the mercy of the lion. You may be bitten by him, you may not. But generally, you are in the arena of danger. Do you see what I'm saying? So rebellious people are like people who have now stepped where the lion is. Pray that the lion is sleeping while you are strolling there. Because if he wakes up, you are finished. Do you see what I'm saying? And as the case is often, the lion wakes up and the rebellious people get finished. Here is another person, next one, Ahithophel. Ahithophel was supposed to be one of David's counselors, and he also rebelled against David. And look at his end. Ahithophel hanged himself and died. Tragic death. You know, Shimei is another person. He cursed the king. He came out and threw stones at the king. And he was cursing and insulting and saying things about the king that he shouldn't say. Do you see? And this was around the time Absalom had revolted against his father, and Shimei came out to do those kinds of things. You see? And so in the end, so the king commanded Benaiah, which went out and fell upon Shimei, that he died. That means he went to kill him. And that's it. You know? So in the end, he dies. Adonijah is one of the sons of David, who also rebelled. He joined one of the parties, you know, and then they rebelled also against their father. And in the end, Adonijah, the king Solomon, sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. This Benaiah, he's a very, very powerful man. When he's sent in your direction, he comes to fall upon you, as the Bible says, and that's your end. Hallelujah. So you can see, all these people are examples of rebels. I pray that when you go home, you know, for the rest of this week, for your quiet time, you know, take each one of them. Just start from this verse. You start from here. Then you read backwards and forwards. Do you see? So you can understand the context of the story. So take one person every day. Read Absalom tomorrow. Read Ahithophel the next day. Read Shimei the next day. Read Adonijah the next day. So you can understand what exactly they did in their rebellion and how they ended up in a bad situation. Amen. The last person is famous Judas. You know, you would have thought that Judas, who chose to do business with Christ, you know, he decided to use Jesus Christ to do business, to sell him, so he can make some money. Do you get it? Judas is the one who went to people and asked them, if I give him to you, what will you give me? He said, I have connections. I'm an insider. I know his itinerary. You know, I know what he does from morning to evening. I am an insider. If I come and tell you I can betray this man to you, I can sell him to you, you should believe me. What will you give me? The people said, we'll give you money. We'll help you. We'll help you. Probably said, how much? Then they'll mention an amount. Say, oh, no, it's not enough. No, it's not enough. Can you step it up a little bit? So I'm building a house. I need to roof it with this, at least this money. Don't you understand? I'm taking a wild risk. You have to understand. So give me something that will make. Then the people will offer a little more money, maybe up to 20 pieces of silver. He say, look, it's okay. It's okay. He's not for sale anymore. The business is off. Then as he's going, the people call him back. Look, my friend, come. So he comes back, you know, and then now they are offering 25. Then he said, don't call me back if you don't have. I said, 30, last price. Hallelujah. Yeah. In my country, when you go to the market, you start to bargain with the people. Then at a point, you pretend to be leaving. You know, then they will call you back. Hey, madam, come. Why are you so angry? He's like, we are just talking. It's just a price I've mentioned. You just have to say something. It's not a fight at all. You know, then they'll come up with what they call last price. Last price. You last price. You take it out loose. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I'm not making any profit. You just take it. Hey. So the people bargained probably with Judas until Judas came to last price and said that, look, if you won't give me 30 pieces of silver, the deal is off. The people communed with each other and they said, okay, 30 pieces of silver. And then we'll pay you that. Hallelujah. So Judas may have thought that he has got some money he's going to enjoy. Do you see? But look at the end of Judas. Judas went and hanged himself. Hallelujah. Judas went and hanged himself. So again, we can see for the sixth time that people who rebel never end up well. Amen. Rebels do not, disloyalty is never rewarded with a good thing. Hallelujah. It reaps a harvest of evil, and I must pray that God will deliver all of us from the spirit of disloyalty, even subtle ones. Amen. Subtle forms of it, God should deliver us, because it leads to death and execution. Amen. Now, what about loyalty itself? Well, according to the same scriptures, we are just reading verses. Rather, the Bible says that when people are faithful, God rewards them. So, Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21 says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, faithfulness is commended. Do you see? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And then it says, "Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. You have been faithful in a small thing. I will give you control and influence over many things. God seems to reward loyalty with increase and growth. Hallelujah. God blesses people who are loyal and faithful. God causes them to increase. He causes them to do well. He causes them to increase in joy, to increase in finances, to increase in spirituality, to increase in every sense of the word. Faithfulness is rewarded by God. Hallelujah. And that is why we need to pursue that. We need to pursue faithfulness, because God rewards that. Amen. Hallelujah. And then loyal people also experience the favor of God. They experience the favor of the Lord, because he said, "Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Hallelujah. That means step into God's favor. Step into the joy and happiness and the favor of God. Step into the place where God is happy with you. Hallelujah. Wow, what a place to be. Because when God is happy with you, it makes a big difference. The Bible says, when the way of a man pleases God, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God causes his enemies, the person's enemies, even the things that fight against you, when your ways please God, God causes your enemies even to be at peace with you. Hallelujah. But this is the verse that I like so much, Psalm 41 verse 11. It says, "By this I know that thou favorest me, because my enemy doth not triumph over me." Hallelujah. So when God favors you, one of the signs is that your enemies do not triumph over you. Whatever your enemy is, whatever fights against your life, whatever comes against you, God, when God is favoring you, he causes that thing to lose its power over you. Amen. That includes sickness, that includes poverty, that includes fear. Whatever your enemy is, whatever it is that seems to take you on and fight you and cause you to come to a bad place, God causes that thing to lose its power over you. Hallelujah. I see you walking in the favor of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you understand what we just read? Right. So now come with me to chapter 7. Okay. Chapter 5 is adventures in Ghana. So you can read about the adventures. Chapter 6, adventures in Nigeria. So you can also read about those adventures in Nigeria. But chapter 7 is three common causes of disloyalty. Three common causes of disloyalty. Three common reasons, or three common underlying factors that stir up a spirit of disloyalty. Are you following what I'm sharing with you tonight? All right. Sheila Mills, are you following what I'm sharing? What about Jean? Jean, are you following my message tonight? Okay. Right. Number one is an erratic personality. Erratic personality. Okay? And an erratic person is a person who is disposed to making sudden decisions. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, he can just change like that. You know? Many years ago, I had a friend. You could just meet him. Like, you're walking somewhere, going somewhere, you meet him. And once you tell him where you're going, instantly he'll just turn and he's just going with you. Do you understand? And meanwhile, a few moments ago, it's like he was on his way somewhere. Do you get it? Busily pursuing a particular goal. He was going somewhere. Then you just meet him and he finds out you're going this way. He just turns around and he starts to go with you, you know, until he meets the next person. And then he will just change like that. Hallelujah. But there are some people like that who are very erratic in their personality. You know, they take serious decisions in the spur of the moment. They just flip and change. Hallelujah. And sometimes they do not ponder. They do not think deeply. Do you get it? So sometimes in moments of anger especially, do you see? Because that kind of personality thrives or often is fueled by emotion. You see, when he or she is upset, then they take decisions and then they make moves. You see, one moment he's packed his things, he's left the house because he's upset over the kind of dinner they made that day. Do you understand? So he's left. He doesn't want to be there anymore. Do you understand? So that is how people are. Sometimes in the church, one small experience, something bad happens, you know, and then instead of sitting down to think deeply about what it means, because that you know, you may have been upset or offended by something in the church, but you should understand that your roots go deeper than that in the church. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a lot more at stake. Some people just walk out of the church not realizing that it means you are walking away from all your friends, walking away from a lot of benefits and blessings that have come to your life because you were in the church. Do you see? And they just move away without deep thought. Do you understand? And that kind of person often falls prey to the spirit of disloyalty. Do you see? Because they are really carrying their mind, their brains in their hands, mixed with their emotions. And once they get emotional and get upset, they just take a decision and they leave something they have been in for years, something that has blessed them for years, something that has actually affected their lives in a very significant way over the years. Such that walking away from this thing means walking away from your life. You are basically disintegrating your life and reducing everything to shambles. You are breaking down everything you have built over so many years. Can I have an amen? Amen. So that is one of the common causes of disloyalty. Hallelujah. People who break relationships suddenly. You know, I don't want to be with you anymore. That's it. You know, yeah, I don't want to be with you anymore. And over something very small that happened. Do you see? Something very little that happened. And you wonder, okay, it's happened, but should this lead to that? Do you understand? Yeah, should this lead to that? But an erratic person is like that. It just takes a decision on the spur of the moment. I'll leave you, you see, I'll leave you. And you just leave you. Like that. The other day, I was sharing with somebody. I was asking them, "How is your marriage?" Then they were telling me. Well, they were just laughing a little bit. Then the husband finally spoke, and he said that, "Look, for the truth, it's not easy. You know, it's not easy. It's been very difficult. You know." And I asked him why. Is it so difficult, or why is it like? Then he said, "My wife, she's always talking about divorce, you know." So I mentioned, there were a few of them in where they were sitting, a few of them, and then they were on speakerphone. So I mentioned the wife's name. When I mentioned her name, then she responded. You know, so I said to her, why are you responding to your name? She said, because you called me. I said, okay. So I asked, did everybody hear me call out? They all said yes. I asked them, why didn't they respond? Because they thought I was calling this one. Do you understand? So I said to them that in the realm of the spirit, it's the same. The spirit whose name you call often in your house is the one who comes to live there. Do you understand? Because when I say Jean, Jean is the one who looks at me. Do you understand? When you mention certain names, you get the attention of that spirit. Do you get it? Just like when I say, because there are people here, but when I say Sheila, you in particular, you start to look at me. You see, and every time I say Sheila, 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 then you start to draw near to me. You pay more attention to me. And the spirit whose name you call is the one that answers all the time. Hallelujah. So you have to learn that you should not, in your erratic behavior, just always announce divorce, this, that, say all kinds of things just because of something that has happened. Of course, if you really want that, then you can mention that spirit. Let him come and take you away. But what I have found is that most people do not want it. Do you understand? They do not want it. They do not want the effect of that. And often they have not considered, even those who think they want it, they often have not considered deeply the implications of a visitation by such a spirit. Do you understand? And that is why they lend themselves to that kind of thing. Hallelujah. So people who just act suddenly, you know, just without notice, they just make a move. He's gone. One day you come, he's packed his things. Oh, I met a friend in such and such a place. I'm going to go and live with him. And then you ask just like that. Yeah. Oh, it's not a problem. Why, is it a problem for you? Oh, it's not a problem. There's nothing wrong. Oh, no, nothing. I just met my friend and I'm going to live there. That's how it is. Hallelujah. So beware of erratic moves. Can I have an amen? Beware of erratic moves. If you have erratic behavior, you end up also often being poor. Do you see? You buy things on impulse. Do you see? All you have to do is to watch an infomercial, you know, somebody showing something at 2 a.m. on TV. The next morning to be at your door. You get it? Such people must not have credit cards at all, because the credit card gives them way too much ease, you know, to practice their erratic behavior. Hallelujah. Yeah. You see, so it is very, very important. Every little announcement, you know, anytime somebody is making a sale, you have to go and visit the store. You know, and when you go there, they just have to display a little. So, wow, can I have two or three? Do you understand? Your bills are not paid. You know, you need the money for other things, but you're not considering it. You're just looking at what you're seeing right now, and it appeals so much to you, and that's what you want to have. Are you getting what I'm sharing with you? So, Proverbs 24 and 21, the scripture says, my son, fear thou the Lord, the king. Fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. Meddle not with them that are given to change. Hallelujah. That means don't interfere, you see, and don't relate with people who just change like that. They are erratic. Just that is it. Hallelujah. Today they belong to this church. Tomorrow, no more. They don't belong to the church anymore. You know, today they are in love with the pastor. They like the church. They are flowing. Tomorrow, because of that last message he preached, no, it's finished. I don't want to be in that place anymore. Do you see? And then they keep moving from place to place to place to place to place, and they can never settle. Same thing. They have a beloved today. Tomorrow, because of A, B, C, and D, you know, it's finished. then maybe in another moment of good feeling, I left my blood. Oh, come. Look, I'm sorry. Let's just continue. And then they come and they continue. Then as their beloved-osis is going on another 2-3 weeks. You know something? I think I made a mistake. You are the worst mistake of my life. I'm gone. Then they go again. Then after 2 months, they call again. I was just checking to see if, you know, because, you know, people make mistakes. And I think that I made a mistake, you see. So you can never be sure with such a person. Hallelujah. You can never be sure with such a person, and it is not a good thing. Amen. Right. Now, the second one is financial reasons. The second common underlying reason for disloyalty is money, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Hallelujah. If you take any evil and you break it down and go into its roots and go down far enough into its origins, you will see that at the bottom of it is lying money. Amen. At the very bottom of it, all evil has some connection, one way or the other, to money. Hallelujah. Directly or indirectly, you know. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Amen. Whether you can see it, you know, immediately or not, the Bible is the truth, and the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Hallelujah. Then it says, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. You know, so the pursuit of wealth and riches and the love of money, it causes people to deviate from the faith. It causes people to shift from the faith. It causes people to backslide. It makes people leave churches. It makes people grow cold in their walk with God. Do you understand? Yeah. The love of money, the love of money, the love of money, the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, then they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's the very painful part of it. Because people follow money because of glamorous promises that money seems to make to people. Do you understand? Because you need money to have anything in this life. Do you understand? So when you have an appetite for things, then you inevitably develop an appetite for the means to get things. Do you understand? And that leads you into a love affair with money. Do you understand? You become obsessed with money. You start to find money. You start to see money in everything. You start to think of everything in terms of what money you can get out of it. You know, you start to be very protective. You start to think about how you can make money and how you can get more money and so on. And often it goes beyond even having your needs met. Do you understand? You see, when you don't have a lot or have a lot of needs, you think or are deceived. One of the tricks of the love of money is that you think it's because of your needs that you're pursuing it. Do you understand? But those who go far enough with it discover that even after those needs are met, that lingering desire for this thing still is there. That's when you know that, no, this thing I've been affected or I've been bitten by this particular snake. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So the love of money is a very dangerous thing. Do you understand? And all of us must guard our hearts. Yes, we have needs. Yes, we have so many needs. We have so many things. But we need to be able to live and be content. Do you understand? We need to learn to come to the place where those needs notwithstanding, you have a certain contentment. In fact, have even found a way to live without those needs being met. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that if those needs were never met, you will still not experience an empty life. Do you understand? Yes. And when those needs are met, then it becomes a bonus. Because really, you have learned to live. Paul said it. The scripture says, I have learned, you know, in all things, I'm instructed how to have and how not to have. You know, a good Christian must know how not to have. Not only how to have. Do you understand? A good Christian must not only know how to have or only be interested in having or knowing how to have. And such that when you don't have, you are so uncomfortable. Because when you look at the Apostle Paul's life, you see that his life included a life of not having. Do you understand? And being in prison. And I mean, what do you do? But I tell you that Paul's best letters were written out of prison. Do you understand? So a person can even be in a situation where, you know, he's not in the ideal situation he would like to be in. But even from that non-ideal situation, he is so productive and such a blessing to people that in the end, that situation rather leads him into a blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So this is one that we all need to be careful of. Hallelujah. We need to be very careful with this one. Because we need money to live. Do you understand? Money is become a necessity in today's world. You need it to live. But you have to be careful that the love of money does not enter your heart. The Bible says a person who loves silver will never be satisfied with silver. That means when the love of money enters your heart, then you will never know how to say it's enough. Do you understand? You never know how to say, you know, let me pass on this opportunity to get money. You know, because you will have opportunities. You will have, sometimes you will have to choose between something you can do to get more money and maybe going to church or serving the Lord or doing something that may not bring money to you. Do you understand? And the Bible says when a person loves money, he cannot get to that place. He cannot stop. Hallelujah. He cannot stop. The love of money is a very, very dangerous thing. Hallelujah. For a Christian. And I pray that God will deliver us and save us from the love of money. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when you love money, one of the problems you're going to have is you never be happy. Do you see? You never be content. You see, you can never be content. You'll not be content. You won't be content with what you are paid. You won't be content with what you have. You won't be content with what you drive. You won't be content with where you live. You know, a spirit of discontentment works closely with the love of money. So there's no amount of anything that is given you that will satisfy you. Hallelujah. But we need to learn the art of being happy with where you are. Do you understand? Being happy that I am not where I would like to be, but I tell you that I'm happy with where I am. Do you see what I'm saying? You need to be able, it's a statement all of us must be able to make. Do you get it? Because it's good to have a goal. You know, and it can always get better. There are so many, if we all had a bit more money, there are so many things we would like to do and we'll be able to do, which will be nice. Do you see what I'm saying? And most of them will be good things. Some people, a lot of money ends up destroying them. A lot of people who suddenly win the lottery, they just end up being destroyed. I mean, today you have $25 in your bank account. Tomorrow when you pick your lottery ticket, you have $3 million in your bank account. Many people can't handle that drastic change, you know, from someone who can't afford anything to someone who suddenly can afford everything. You see, they just blow up, they just go up in smoke. Do you see? And all kinds of tragedy and all kinds of things happen to such people. Can I have an amen? So you need to learn this sort of thing so that you can learn how to be happy. Hallelujah. So you can learn how to be happy. Bishop says, I'm very careful about employing anyone. I have very few employed staff. I believe that people must mature in their understanding of employment issues. If we are not careful, the church can run into another forum for unions and strikes. Hallelujah. You see, so we all also need to grow up. You see, a very common thing is, in fact, if you look around and you start to ask people who work, you see, most people think they are not paid enough. Do you understand? It's a common thought that most people just generally feel that they are not paid enough. Do you understand? And most people do not look at it from the employment or the employer's point of view. Do you understand? Sheila, most people do not understand from the employer's point of view. I need time to really explain this particular thing. And maybe one day I'll take some time and share with you about the love of money. Amen. Right. But let me just move on because I just want to finish this tonight. Take your time and read this book. Amen. Read this chapter also and it will be a blessing to you. Financial covetousness. Okay. Financial covetousness has to do with people who want more and more and more. And that's where that scripture occurs. The scripture of from Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10, that says, he that loveth silver will never be satisfied with silver. Hallelujah. I want to encourage all of you, spend your time working hard, rather. Amen. Instead of thinking about money, work hard, because money will find its way to you anyway. Hallelujah. If you do what you do well, money will find its way to you. I was watching an interview, a Steve Jobs interview the other day, and I found it fascinating how he said at a point, because there was a guy who was interviewing and asking him, you know, so you are so young and, you know, you have so much money. I mean, does it not do anything to you? You know, and I mean, you could see that the person was just wondering, wow. I mean, it's like the interviewer is even thinking that if I were this man, you get it? So he cannot understand how this man can be who he is and have what he has and still be very sane and so on. And the way he sat there coolly and calmly, and he was telling the person that, well, he said it was never about the money anyway. You know, he said it's never been about the money. He said when they made the first computer, their source of joy was not that they had made something they could sell. He said they looked at the fact that they said, wow, we made something. Do you understand? The fact that you have done something must bring you more joy than what that something can bring you. Do you see what I'm saying? Because if you focus on that, you will make another thing. And whatever you have made is valuable. Do you see? And you don't even have to chase its value, because once it's been made, it is what it is. It has the value it has, and it will bring you what it's supposed to bring you. Are you getting the picture? But what we should be happy with is the fact that, you know, you've created something. You have accomplished something. You have achieved something. You've been able to do something. Hallelujah. And when you do it, money is just a natural reward. It will just come. It just comes, you know, with it. Hallelujah. And he was telling, he started to count. He said, look, he said, I was worth 1 million when I was 23. Then he said, I was worth 10 million when I was 24. Then I was worth 100 million when I was 25. You think about it. The guy has spent almost all his life being a rich person. Do you understand? But he said, it's not been about the money. It's about making, he said, it's about feeling what people want and being satisfied from being able to make something that meets the needs of people. That is where it is. Do you understand? And you will see that in the end, money just comes as a natural reward for helping people Can I have an amen? So let's not become people who pursue money. Let's pursue God and pursue the things of God, and God is going to bless us. Then the last one is missing God's direction. Missing God's direction. That's the third reason why people become disloyal. The third common cause of disloyalty is missing God's direction for your life. Many people miss God's direction for their lives because of this, they end up in complicated situations. They are often forced into disloyalty by their own mistakes. Every minister must know how to hear the voice of God. The leading of the Spirit is crucial for successful ministry. Amen. So it is important that we look for God's voice and God's direction so that you are not forced into a situation where you have to be disloyal. So if you're entering a relationship, you need to seek God's face about it and pray about it. Hallelujah. Don't be in a situation where it's like you've been looking for a beloved for so long that now that someone is expressing some interest, please, God, stop. Don't bring any of this type of pray so much. Because I've been waiting for a long time. Do you understand? But rather, take time to pray. Because if you don't hear the voice of God concerning what you're trying to do, you will be forced at a point in it to abandon it. You see, when the thing starts to show its true colors, because everything has a true color, isn't it? Everything has what it looks like from a distance and what it really is when you are next to it. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it is very important that we spend time to pray before we get into things so we don't miss God's direction and be forced into a spirit of disloyalty or step into disloyalty. Amen. Many ministers claim that they are being led by the Spirit of God as they break away and rebel in the ministry. Are these people really being led by the Spirit of God? Many people are having what I call visions of their own heart. You know, let me read this part of the thing to you just before we close. Visions of their own heart. Jeremiah 14 and 14. It says, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither speak unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Do you see? And this one is talking about people who break up churches and so on because they claim they have heard from the Lord. You see, and it says the Lord is saying that they are prophesying the deceit of their heart. You know, chapter 23 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Hallelujah. A common trick of people who go their own way is to claim that God has sent them. The scripture tells us that we should not listen to the words of such prophets. When someone has a rebellious spirit, he will surely dream about a successful rebellion. God says in his word, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither speak unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and the deceit of their hearts. Hallelujah. I watched a junior pastor as he rebelled against his senior pastor. His mouth was full of venom. He went about slandering his former church and criticizing his former pastor. Yet this man had scriptures to back his claim. He claimed that God had called him and asked him to do what he was doing. I said to this rebel, God does not destroy churches. God is a builder of churches. He was my friend, so I went with him to the new church he had established. When I got there, I realized that all the equipment he was using belonged to his former church. He had taken over the church's seats, pulpit, instruments. He had their members and their building. I said to him, these things do not belong to you. I continued, it is stealing. He just smiled and said, "You don't understand." I continued, "You are my friend, but God's blessing will not be with you when you do such things." Within a few years, this anarchist church collapsed. "Even if an angel appears to you and gives you instructions, we will not accept it if it is contrary to the word of God." Can I have an amen? The Bible teaches us not to believe when people speak a vision out of their heart. How can God in one stroke build a church and in the next stroke destroy it? Anyone who goes around slandering other ministers is a dangerous person. Snakes are not discriminating when they begin to bite. After spreading venom about someone else, they will turn on you. I know a pastor who abandoned ship because a prophet told him to. Later on, I found out that this same prophet would send scouts to the church in which he was going to minister. That's if he was invited to minister somewhere. He would send people to go there. Then these scouts would take the car numbers and descriptions and find out who the owners were. Then the prophet will use this information to conjure up words of knowledge. You know, that is, "I see this, I see that. A person who has car number, this, that, that, that." And then it goes on and on. The words of knowledge, these words of knowledge were so spectacular and astonishingly accurate that everyone believed the prophet's word. Finally, he had a prophecy for the associate pastor. "This is not your place. You must begin your own church." You cannot imagine the confusion that broke out in the church. The visit of this prophet changed the course of that ministry. The church broke up into many splinter groups. The pastors ended up fighting in court over church property. The Bible says we shall know them by their fruits. I would not criticize anybody for his accurate words of knowledge. I pray for accurate words of knowledge myself, and I'm happy when I see them happening. The Bible did not teach me that I would know a thing by its gift. You know them by their fruits. Hallelujah. So when I see the fruits of broken churches, destroyed ministries, and deceived pastors, I know that the Spirit of God is not at work. The devil and the flesh are on the rampage. Because James 3, 14 and 15 says, "If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding it? Yeah. So you can see, oh, just about to end, let me just read it. Okay. It says, "Dear minister, do not yield to pressure from people. You must make, or you may make the mistake of your lifetime. People will push you into things, but they will not support you when you're out there." Somebody once told me, "People sympathize with the underdog, but they follow the top dog." All right. When I first got married, people often suggested the number of children that we should have. Some said we should have 5. Others said we should have 4 children. They would describe the advantages of having large families. How nice it is when they all grow up and you have children all over the world, they said. You can have such nice family reunions. The children would have lots of playmates. I would smile to myself and think, this man is suggesting that I have all these children. Will he look after them when they grow up? Will he pay their school fees and build houses for them? Certainly not. Those who will not contribute a dime are those who put the most pressure on you. Dear friend, be careful about yielding to the pressure of the people. When you have taken the wrong decision, these same people will criticize you for making mistakes. Judas came under pressure to betray Christ. Eventually, he succumbed to the pressure and temptation to betray his master. Afterwards, he realized that he had made a mistake. He went back to the same people who had pressurized him with money and made a lame attempt to undo everything. He actually took the money back, but the people would have none of it and threw him out to face suicide and eternal damnation on his own. They told Judas, "What is that to us? That is your problem. See to it yourself." Judas, which had betrayed him when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it, or to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Wow. Please do not yield to the temptation of money or to the pressure of the people. You will have to deal with the consequences of your decisions yourself. Amen. Isn't that an interesting chapter? Right? So I believe that it is very clear. We must be careful not to follow people, not to allow people to push us into situations, not to allow people to talk us out of a good place where God has placed us, whether it's in a family, whether it's in a church, or even a group of friends. We must be careful of people that are used by the enemy to displace us, because the enemy knows that he has greater access to you when you are displaced. Hallelujah. But we need to stay where God has appointed for us, where God has planted us, and let's be loyal and faithful. In due season, we will reap the rewards of loyalty. Hallelujah. We will reap the rewards of enlargement, and we will reap the rewards of the favor of God being upon us and everything we do. Say amen. Amen. Right. I want you to read the book when you go home. Don't forget, I gave you where to have your quiet time the rest of this week. Those verses are there. Read about Absalom, Adonijah, Lucifer, Ahithophel, Shimei, and who? Judas. Judas. Read those passages. Read just before it and just after it, and you understand how it all happened. Say amen. Amen. Right. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Father, we are so grateful unto you tonight. We thank you for being in a church like this, oh God, where explanations to the scriptures have been offered us in the form of books like this. Thank you for the teaching on loyalty and disloyalty. Thank you for the foundations you are laying in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our thinking, Lord. Even before we come into places where such teachings are relevant, you have already exposed us to them and settled us in them, such that when we come into those places, it will not be difficult to handle those situations or even to know what to do. We pray in the name of Jesus for a spirit of faithfulness, because we have understood that you reward loyalty. You reward and you bless faithfulness. You bless faithfulness with increase and enlargement. And you bless faithfulness with your favor. You cause people to enter into your joy because of the spirit of faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. We pray, O God, that we will not be lovers of money. We pray, O God, that you would take the love of money out of our hearts and replace it with the love of God. Let something replace the love of money and the pursuit of money in the name of Jesus. Help us to have a single eye. The Bible says, if we seek God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. Give us faith to believe that if we will pursue you, we will never lack by the grace and help of God. We thank you, Father, for your blessing. Deliver us from an erratic personality. Deliver us from taking erratic decisions, gambling with our lives, gambling with our future on erratic decisions in the name of Jesus. Help us to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to be unmovable by winds, to be unmovable by peer pressure, to be unmovable by the environment, by what our friends are doing, by what everyone like us is doing. Help us to take a stand for you, a firm stand for you against the strong winds of peer pressure and the strong winds of the love of the world. In the name of Jesus, help us to be strong in the faith. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our ears to your voice. Teach us to know your voice. Teach us. Train us, Lord, to hear you. Teach us the art of hearing you in the name of Jesus, that we may do your will, and give us the courage to obey you and to follow the things you speak to us and speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen.